Hello and welcome to Distillations, weekly extracts from the past, present, and future of chemistry. I'm Robert Hicks. Each week, we bring you stories on all things chemical, from baking soda to borax. This week, cleaning up, the chemistry of making a mess and then making it better. This is Distillations. The recent oil spills in the San Francisco Bay and Kerch Strait off the Black Sea were grim reminders of the fragility of the Earth's waterways. And while policymakers throughout the world are working to prevent future spills from happening, the more pressing concern right now is how to clean it all up. Chemical Heritage Foundation environmental history and policy expert Jody Roberts has this commentary.
We've all seen the iconic images. Volunteers and scientists scrubbing oil-soaked birds on devastated beaches. But is this the way to true environmental remediation? Is cleanup even possible after a major oil spill? You can scrub the birds, and you can comb the beaches for rainbow shimmers and lingering globs of sludge on the water's surface. But there's something else happening at the molecular level. Molecules of crude oil become intimately intertwined with the biological systems of the organisms they touch, forever changing the chemical makeup of each organism and the ecosystem as a whole. About 1,000 miles from the site of the recent spill along the California coast, another environmental tragedy is brewing. A vortex of ocean current has created a new island, now about twice the size of Texas. The island is composed of trash, mostly plastic trash. There, sea creatures and birds feed on the shiny, ethereal waste of our developed society. Plastics are built to last, and so they do. Even as they slowly decompose into smaller versions of themselves, polymer slowly devolving to monomer, the chemical persists. So how does one clean up the oceans? How do we remove an island of trash? We have two options. Wait for plastic-eating bacteria to evolve, or wait for society to evolve past its current modes of production and use of polymers that are designed for persistence. Human societal evolution, while slow, is definitely the faster of the two. And so, just as the Pollution Prevention Act of 1990 indicated, the best way to remediate a space is not to muck it up in the first place.
Jody Roberts is Program Manager for Environmental History and Policy in the Center for Contemporary History and Policy at the Chemical Heritage Foundation. We'll hear more about the recent San Francisco Bay oil spill and efforts to clean it up just in a bit. But first, the element of the week. This week, we'll look at mercury, one of the oldest and most mysterious elements of the periodic table. The shiny metal that remains liquid at room temperature was commonplace in the workshops of the earliest alchemists and remains a pliable tool today. Liquid mercury famously found its way into the first thermometers, but it also plays an important role in batteries, vaccines, and industrial catalysis. Despite its popularity as a chemical tool, mercury has become an increasingly controversial substance. In its elemental form, mercury reacts with organic matter to become methylmercury, a highly toxic substance that accumulates in the food chain. Since the 1950s, when scientists recognized that mercury poisoning was widespread among the citizens of Minamata, Japan, public health officials, environmental activists, and government regulators have all urged extreme caution with mercury. Several states have enforced stringent regulations on the release of mercury from coal-fired power plants, where mercury leaves the facility through cooling towers, returns to the surface of the earth in rain, and makes its way into local waterways where it reacts with organic matter and winds up on our plates. But just as mercury has become a top villain in the worlds of public health and environment, it's also playing a much quieter supporting role as hero. Compact fluorescent light bulbs, hail the saviors in the most recent energy crisis, use mercury as a catalyst. And that's it for the Element of the Week. You're listening to Distillations. I'm Robert Hicks. Next up, we return to the San Francisco Bay Area, where producer Catherine Girardot has this story about a unique chemical collaboration using mushrooms and human hair to help clean up the bay.
On November 7th, 2007, The container ship COSCO Busan rammed the San Francisco Bay Bridge in heavy fog, spilling 58,000 gallons of fuel oil into the bay. Hundreds of volunteers turned out to clean the fouled beaches, including a group of eco-minded surfers and concerned residents who introduced an unusual cleanup tool, mats woven from human hair.
These are amazing. They look like Brillo pads.
Why hair? It's ideal for absorbing oil from a beach because of the scale-like structure of the outer hair shaft, which oil clings to, but water does not. And volunteers say the sand shakes right off. Believe it or not, hair can turn toxic cleanup into bioremediation if you add the right ingredients. All this chemical collaboration needs is a jumpstart from, well, fungus. But it all starts with the hair. Phil McCrory, a Huntsville, Alabama barber, invented the hair mats after watching oil-soaked otters on the news in the wake of the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska in 1989.
I sweep up hair from my salon every day, so I brought some hair home, put it in my wife's pantyhose, virtually made me a little otter, and created my own little oil spill in my backyard, and was able to clean a gallon of oil out of water in 1 minute. The water was crystal clear, and the hair had saturated all the oil up, and I was able to retrieve the oil and recover it and put it back in the container I poured it out of.
On the cleanup's final day, McCrory stood in front of one of the Red Cross tents at Ocean Beach in San Francisco, holding up a round hair mat about 7 inches across.
This particular size here will recover 1 quart of oil in less than 1 minute, centrifuged out, recover that oil, and can be used 100 times. After it's centrifuged the last time, can be burned in an incinerator, and hair leaves no residue when it's burned. It's completely gone.
But sustainability organizer Lisa Gauthier wanted more than safe disposal of the oil reclaimed from the bay. She wanted to take it all the way from hazmat to compost, and for that, she needed help, fungal help. You may not want to think about this, but keratin, the strong protein hair is made of, makes hair an ideal seeding ground for fungus.
We're going to do this lasagna. We put down this straw, which has like a peroxide solution over it. Then we put down the oily hair mats and then this oyster mushroom spawn. And we keep layering it all the way up to a foot high. And within 12 weeks, we have compost, which is certified for freeway landscaping compost. Right. So, and it's no longer toxic.
Is there a scientific basis for this technique? I asked an expert.
It's a well-known technique in mycology to use what we call hair baiting, where we actually put hair into petri dishes to encourage fungi to grow.
Dr. Terry Hazen is a senior scientist at Lawrence Berkeley Labs. He said the most important thing the mushrooms do is break down the stubborn molecular structures in oil residue, which allows it to then be broken down further, eventually into compost.
Ring structures are basically carbon rings. Fungi actually will break the ring structures, which are some of the most recalcitrant parts of the molecule, and then make them more bioavailable to all the other bugs that are potentially there, the bacteria and that sort of thing.
As of mid-December, Lisa Gauthier's hair mat lasagnas were in the early stages of stewing in their concrete pits at San Francisco's Presidio.
Certainly the hair technique is very interesting, but I would be very surprised if it doesn't work quite well.
For Distillations, I'm Catherine Giraudeau in San Francisco.
Catherine Giraudeau is a writer and producer with Earprint Productions. You can learn more about this story and others you've heard on Distillations on our website, distillations.chemheritage.org. And that's it for this week's edition of Distillations. Our quotation this week comes from Barry Commoner's 1971 book, The Closing Circle. The world is being carried to the brink of ecological disaster, not by a singular fault, but by the phalanx of powerful economic, political, and social forces that constitute the march of history. Anyone who proposes to cure the environmental crisis undertakes thereby to change the course of history. Distillations is a presentation of the Chemical Heritage Foundation and is made possible by the generous support of the Richard Lounsbery Foundation. Mia Lobel is our senior producer, Our assistant producer is Victoria Indivero. And our executive producer is Audra Wolf. Our theme music is composed and performed by Dave Kaufman. Please tell us what you think about our program and send suggestions for future shows to distillations@chemheritage.org. Until next time, I'm Robert Hicks.